Turn to Proverbs 7:11. I'm going to cover a few more verses tonight, Lord willing. Still talking about the strange woman. Solomon here is going to give us a description of her. Verse 11 says, "She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house." So he's giving his son some characteristics of strange women so that he can identify them and avoid them. So the first one is, she is loud and stubborn. So let's look at the loud part first. Loud is of sounds or voices. It is strongly audible, making a powerful impression on the sense of hearing. Hence, with agent noun, it means that speaks or sings with a loud voice. Figuratively, it's a clamorous or noisy. Also, in more favorable sense, emphatic or vehement in expression. So a woman or anybody that is loud obviously speaks with a loud voice, but then figuratively as well, she's just noisy. She's mouthy. She talks a lot. She is opinionated. She lets you know what she thinks. She'll give you a piece of her mind, and some people think that's a virtue. I've met people like that. Oh, my wife, she'll tell you what she thinks. I'm like, well, I wouldn't be bragging about that if I were you. But anyway, noisy means making or given to making a loud noise, clamorous, turbulent. So somebody that's loud is noisy, and noisy is somebody that is clamorous. And we'll look at that clamorous word here in just a second, because the strange woman shares some characteristics with the foolish woman. I mean, they're both, strange woman is a foolish woman. In Proverbs 9 and verse 13, it says, "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing." See, just because somebody doesn't know anything doesn't stop them from talking like they know things. Because a lot of times, people that don't know very much are the ones that talk the most. They go on and on, speaking evil of things they understand not, as the scripture says, or, you know, just a fool is known by the multitude of words. They just talk a lot. Clamorous is of the nature of clamor, uttered with or accompanied by clamor or shouting, noisy. So the clamorous, foolish woman is the one that's always yelling at her husband, or she's always the one that's starting a fight or continuing a fight, something like that. The woman that just doesn't know how to keep her mouth shut. Clamor is loud shouting or outcry, vociferation, the excited outcry of vehement appeal, complaint, or opposition, commonly but not always implying a mingling of voices. So like a crowd could be clamoring and you have a whole bunch of voices together and it gets louder that way. Now another thing about the whorish woman, the strange woman, is that she is imperious. Do any of you know, have you ever even heard the word imperious?
I've heard it.
Heard it? I had never heard it. Well, it's funny, I say I'd never heard of this word, except I've read the Bible like a dozen times, and I know I've read the word at least a dozen times, obviously, but I didn't remember reading it until I came across it just the other day. I just happened across it. I'm reading Ezekiel. Go ahead and turn there, Ezekiel 16. I'm reading Ezekiel in my daily Bible reading, and I just came across this verse, and I saw a word that I didn't know. And here's a little trick. When you see a word you don't know, look it up. Don't just pass over it, especially in the Bible. But if you want to get a good vocabulary, first of all, read a lot. And then as you read a lot, every time you come to a word you don't know, stop, take the time, and look it up. That's how you get an increased vocabulary. And that's why most modern-day Americans have a vocabulary of about 13 words, because they don't read and they don't look up words. And so, myself included, I'm just as dumbed down as the rest of them. Ezekiel 16 and verse 30. But I'm trying. I read half an hour every day outside of the Bible, so trying to educate myself. That's when your schooling's over, then your education can begin, as they said. So, anyway, Ezekiel 16 and verse 30 says, "How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman." Imperious, whorish woman. Now, imperious is overbearing, domineering, dictatorial. And it says the prevailing modern sense. So a whorish woman here is characteristic of being overbearing, domineering, and dictatorial. In other words, a modern-day American feminist, basically. A loose, whorish woman who's domineering and overbearing and likes to tell her husband what to do. There's nothing new under the sun. I mean, there have been evil women like that thousands of years ago, and we're surrounded by them now. Now, the strange woman here, who's loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house, she's the opposite of a godly woman who's meek and quiet. Look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 4. 1 Peter 3 and verse 4. Peter is giving instruction to Christian wives, even to Christian wives that don't have believing husbands. So there's no excuse for walking all over your husband, being disrespectful to your husband, even if your husband was an atheist. There's no excuse for that. Because Peter says here that Christian women ought to even submit to them who don't obey the word there in verse 1. But in verse 4, and of course submit to him when he's right, when he's biblical. You know, if he's wrong, then he's telling you to do something unbiblical, then you don't submit to that. But if he's within his biblical rights, then yeah,
submit
you should submit.
In the Lord.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 3, 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's the opposite of loud and stubborn, right? Meek and quiet. It's interesting, I think, why we probably have a lot of women today that aren't meek and quiet. It's because they're doing men's work. Like, they're in the world, they're out there working, doing men's, they're out there working with men, they're in positions of authority, and they're telling people what to do. And what do you do when you come home? Then you act like you do at work. It's no wonder why.
Men don't act like men.
And men don't act like, yeah, I mean, the roles.
Women are forced,
yeah,
to make choices because the man won't.
Yeah. Oh, roles are reversed. Men are pathetic sissies, and women are domineering, overbearing, loud, stubborn. That's not right. Meek means gentle, courteous, kind of a superior. It means merciful, compassionate, indulgent, as connoting a Christian virtue, free from haughtiness or self-will, piously humble and submissive, patient and unresentful under injury and reproach. It means submissive and humble. So just the opposite of the strange woman. She's loud and stubborn. The godly woman is gentle, courteous. She's humble. She doesn't think highly of herself. She's not boasting about herself. She's not mouthing off about how smart she is or how tough she is or how much she can get done or whatever. She's meek and submissive and humble. It says that the godly woman is of a meek and quiet spirit. Quiet. When we're talking about persons, it's making no stir, commotion, or noise, just the opposite of the clamorous woman, the loud woman, causing no trouble or disturbance, remaining at rest, not moving or acting. Also of nature or disposition, it's habitually or naturally peaceful or averse to making stir, noise, etc. Free from disturbance, molestation, or annoyance, not interfered or meddled with. Left in peace. It's characterized by the absence of all strife, bustle, stir, or commotion. Also free from noise or uproar, silent, still. Just reading that definition kind of puts you at peace. It just sounds good. And you think about some of these poor guys, and they go home and their wives just yelling at them and ranting and raving. And I mean, there are guys that do it too. But there's plenty of guys, though, that have to deal with that, right? A brawling. It says, you know, that it's better to live in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house.
You need a wide house to get away from her on the other side.
Right, exactly. Or else a tent out in the wilderness, one of the two, because it says also that it's better to live in the wilderness than with a contentious woman. So yeah, the godly woman's just the opposite of the strange woman. So when you meet a woman who's loud, overbearing, domineering, dictatorial, and contentious, run. run. Now, if you have a very strong aversion to loud, clamorous, and domineering women like I do, you won't have to worry too much about it because they'll run from you. I've never really had to worry about those types of women being interested in me because I repel them like a flashlight repels cockroaches. They run from me. They want nothing to do with me because I can't stand that kind of a woman. It drives me up the wall. So I guess if you have that kind of disposition, you don't have to worry about women like that coming after you anyway. They want somebody they can walk all over. The strange woman is also stubborn. It says she's loud and stubborn. Stubborn is not a virtue. Some people think it is. People boast about being stubborn. Oh, I'm stubborn. I wouldn't admit to that if I were you, but there are people that do. Stubborn means, of persons or animals, pertinacious or dogged in refusing obedience or compliance, unyielding, inflexible, obstinate, chiefly in bad sense, unreasonably obstinate. In early use, it can apply sometimes with a stronger notion of untamable, implacable, ruthless, or fierce. So somebody who is stubborn is somebody that's just, they are going to dig in their heels, they are going to do what they want to do, and nobody is going to stop them. They are going to refuse compliance, and they're going to do what they want to do. Unless they meet somebody that's more stubborn or more strong than they are, and they just absolutely force them. But other than that, they're going to dig in their heels.
Well, how about not wearing a mask?
Mm-hmm.
Can you be stubborn and not comply with it?
Yeah, I am stubborn when it comes to that. But that's something...
Is that wrong?
No, I don't think so, because it's not a law. Mm-hmm. It's just some dictate from some health bureaucrat that's making stuff up, and he has no right to tell me to put some piece of cloth over my face and dehumanize me. And so, yeah, I am stubborn about that. Mm-hmm. Just like I'd be stubborn if somebody told me, hey, go murder that guy. Nope, I'm going to be stubborn. I'm digging in my heels here. I'm not going to comply. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to commit fornication. God be my helper, of course. Right? Yeah, you can be stubborn when it comes to not complying with sin and not complying with tyrants that are going to try to force you to wear a mask. Yeah, you can be stubborn about that. But don't be stubborn about things that God says to do or things that a legitimate authority says to do. You know, there are laws that legislatures enact, and if those laws are good and just, and they're enacted by legally through a legislature that is elected by the people that votes on them and passes those laws, then yeah, absolutely, obey them. Mm-hmm. But some clown in Clay County that just thinks he's a petty tyrant because he happens to be appointed to some health commission, health, whatever it's called, board or whatever, he has no claim on my obedience whatsoever.
And if there's a petty disagreement in the family over where we're going to have Thanksgiving dinner,
mm-hmm.
there's no sense in getting involved in that and digging in your heels about that.
No.
Just walk away from that and let the other two.
Right. It's an honor to cease from strife, as the scripture says. Yep. Yeah, you got to pick your battles.
Right.
So a strange woman is a hard-headed, headstrong, and determined to do whatever she wants to, regardless of the wishes, desires, or commands of her husband, or the Lord for that matter. It doesn't matter to her. She's going to do what she wants to do, regardless of what God or her husband or anybody else says. She's the opposite of a godly woman who is submissive and obedient to her husband. This woman here we're reading about in Proverbs chapter 7, we'll find out later on here that she's married. So, and she's probably not submissive to her husband. I kind of doubt if she's out doing what she's doing. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, 23 through 24. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So just as the church is subject to Christ, and we are under his authority, and we should submit to him, likewise wives should submit to their husbands. Jesus Christ is not going to make his bride do something sinful. or forbid her from doing something that God requires, obviously, and neither should husbands. But everything within the context of what is biblical and what is godly, yeah, a wife should submit to everything. And there's plenty of things where there's gray areas where, I mean, the husband might not have a black and white verse, but there's plenty of gray areas where he could say, no, we're going to do this. We're going to buy this car. We're not going to buy this car. We're going to buy this. We're not going to buy that. And, you know, it's within his rights to do. Now, if he's making a foolish decision, tell him about it, right? I mean, but ultimately, it's his choice. Unless it was something that was just going to absolutely end up in your death or something. I mean, I suppose there would be extreme cases where a decision would be so foolish that it's risking your life or something like that. But, you know, generally speaking, I think you get what I'm saying. Look at Titus 2 and verse 5. Like if your husband took Donald Trump's advice and says that we ought to drink bleach to kill the coronavirus or something, then you know you might not want to submit to that one. I think he was joking when he said that. At least he claimed he was joking when he said that, but who knows? Anyway, Titus 3:5 says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. So the older women, just the context, the older women are supposed to teach the younger women this, which means the older women should be doing this themselves. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So,
what was the reference?
Titus 3:5. 2:5. There we go. 2:5. Sorry. So the godly woman is submissive and obedient. To submit means to place oneself under the control of a person in authority or power, to become subject, surrender oneself, or yield to a person or his rule, etc. To be obedient, which is what a godly wife is supposed to be, is that obeys or is willing to obey, submissive to the will of a superior, complying with or carrying out a command or commands, doing what one is bidden, subservient, dutiful. This, of course, goes against women's nature. It goes against everybody's nature to be obedient and submissive. And, you know, getting back to that thing about how these type of headstrong women don't like me, I had a friend in the Cincinnati church that introduced me to a friend of hers through email. Good Christian girl, don't you know? And we were chatting back and forth through email, and I quoted her that verse, Titus 2:5, not referring to women being obedient to their own husbands. It had nothing to do with that. I don't know what the conversation was about. I just remember it was that verse. And I didn't even mention that. It had nothing to do with the context, nothing. And she came back and she's like, I don't think that women should have to obey their husbands, da 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 da. And, well, that was pretty much the end of that one. So that just shows you that some women are so stubborn and hard-hearted that even the mention of obeying your husband just gets their dander up. It's really amazing. And this woman claimed to be a Christian, not a heathen. So when you meet a woman who's strong-willed and doesn't want to be told what to do, run. That is, of course, if you're looking for a wife. Women like this will naturally be repelled by a man of strong character and authority. So if you want to avoid strange women, be such a man. Be a man of strong character and authority, and you won't be attractive to strange women. And then the second part of the verse there in Proverbs 7:11 says, her feet abide not in her house. So she's loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. To abide means to stay, to wait, stay, remain. So a strange woman doesn't stay at home. She's always out running around, getting herself into trouble. She's not a keeper at home like a Christian woman's commanded to be. If you look in Titus 2:5 again, that same verse that I shouldn't have turned from it. Titus 2 and verse 5 says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So if this strange woman that we're reading about in Proverbs chapter 7, if she was staying at home, taking care of the home like she's supposed to be, she wouldn't be out alluring men. And if all married women were keepers at home, as the scripture commands, there would be far less adultery because there would be far less opportunity for it. This is why there's probably so much adultery in the world today, because you have men and women working together 8 hours a day at the office. And that didn't used to be. Women were at home, men were out working, and there wasn't the opportunity. Just like that's why you have so much adultery in the military, too. You got men and women to together. You didn't used to have that, right? And especially in a combat zone. I witnessed all kinds of adultery when I was over there because women were there and they shouldn't have been.
And when women did work, they were working alongside their husband.
Oh, yeah, a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Because if a man wasn't a farmer, he might have had a shop.
Right.
And his wife helped him in the shop.
Yep, yep. And I know what I'm talking about here. I have personally witnessed the tragedy of a wife and mother out working for some other guy and then falls in love with that other guy and leaves her husband and her children and marries the other guy. I know what I'm talking about. And that wouldn't happen if women were keepers at home, or at least it would be much less likely to happen. So that takes care of verse 11. Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.